Oh, I need power.
Oh, for God, you really know.
Good evening, everybody. I'm the Suffolk Ram.
I'm in my stair.
How's this?
And welcome to episode 77 of the Ryan Nerds podcast.
Hang on.
What the hell are you doing here?
Well, I just, you know...
Where have you been?
I roam in the street sometimes and I just happen to run into
Look,
this.
Look, I told you, I saw wandering down the streets, I bought back of my car.
Yeah, I didn't know what was happening.
The bag went over the head.
Good. And yeah, then here he is.
Yeah.
I thought I'd got away! Have you not, do you not realise that's why there's a cage now that you're back guarding?
Yeah, you got a dog to guard me.
Yeah. We're going to shove him in that, bit of scrap meat every day or so, just to keep him going. And he's always going to be here for us.
I don't think he's going to be doing a great job of going.
Pod Dog is here.
I'm fucking tired, man.
Pod Dog is just out of sight. Hello, Pod Dog.
Yeah.
The thing is, everybody is a dog, this, I could like, put. I can't move now. If anyone actually wanted, they could actually pretend. Usually we pretend this. No, we don't. Never pretend.
Never pretend. Well, Kim was here. Legit.
Yeah, he was. Yeah.
You could see him and everything. Yeah, you can't see the dog, so that can be.
No. And of course, we did joke about having Robert Mugabe on at some point, but now he's got a lot of free time now, so potentially we could arrange something. Anyway, let's make a start. So, games we've been playing. Skaz.
Oh, shit.
You thought you could escape.
Yeah. That's a twofer, actually, for me.
Wow.
That's more than a twofer, but I'm only going to go for the two that I can actually somewhat remember.
Right.
Because Nintendo Switch. I play a lot of games on the Nintendo Switch. Because I spend too much money on the Nintendo Switch, but I'm gonna start by I'm gonna break all the rules. Did I praise Doom last podcast?
You did.
Shit. Well,
you said it was really fun. You really enjoy it,
which it is, with the exception of it being a Bethesda published game. So I don't get too used to this, Bethesda. Especially not for a game that you've programmed. I've been playing Skyrim on the Nintendo Switch.
Oh, dear.
And everyone knows how much I really, really hate Skyrim for a very, very stupid reason.
Yeah.
Now, would you believe I'm actually a reasonable fan of the Elder Scrolls series? With the exception of Skyrim and Elder Scrolls Online.
I massively played Skyrim. Obviously, I haven't played the online one, though.
Good.
Done.
Yeah.
Because it's shit.
Yeah. It doesn't interest me, that one.
It's not bad. It's just a more broken version of Skyrim.
Yeah.
Now...
That's going something, that is.
Yeah. The
but reason- it's okay, because... Oh, no, I just realised. You can't even be in the console to fix things. Because that's the thing about Skyrim. Why Professor Games now bothered me on the PC. Yes, they're broken. But at least I can win the console and just change things to make it work again. Whilst console didn't have that actually, but the only one where you weren't right to do that.
I'd like to throw out that the Nintendo Switch one is still broken.
Yay!
Badly!
Look, it wouldn't be a Bethesda game
if it wasn't horribly broken.
Yeah.
But thankfully...
There's going to be this one bug in it which completely breaks the entire game.
The thing that made me hate Skyrim back in the day can't possibly happen in this version, so...
What was the thing that made you hate Skyrim back in the day?
Right, so when Skyrim first launched, I got my hands on an early copy. And I was going to do a little video about it, a little review about it, share my thoughts, having played the previous two games a lot. Morrowind being one of my favourite games on the Xbox to just stick around and break. Oblivion being one of the most awful endings to an Elder Scrolls game I remember. And apparently, thankfully, I managed to block most of the ending out of my memory, but having to fight those little dweeby mages whilst on this huge hulking barbarian was... no.
It's not sporting, is it?
No. Well, I went back and I watched a video of the ending of Oblivion to see, like, was I just imagining it? Was that actually the end fight, or was there something else after that? And I went back and watched it, and there was a guy playing as an archer, and they actually summoned creatures to help them. And to fight for them. I was like, they didn't live long enough to do that when I was playing. Was that supposed to happen?
But to be fair, in Oblivion, archery was broken.
You fight as a statue, don't you, at part of the finale for Oblivion? You against another massive, huge statue. I seem to remember something about that in there.
I remember a dude turning into a dragon and wailing on a demon thing, and then everyone saying, "He's gone. He died for some reason. Whoa, happy times. Now you go off and do whatever it is you do."
Like Sean Bean, by any chance?
Probably, yes.
He always dies, doesn't he?
Yes.
He dies in anything that's good. He lives in terrible stuff, is the rule with Sean Bean.
Bless him. He tries.
Yeah.
He'll be dead in the next scene, and then he doesn't die, and you're like, well, I was going to be awful.
When he turned up in Game of Thrones, I thought, you're on borrowed time.
Yeah.
You're on borrowed time.
Spoiler.
It's Sean Bean.
Yeah.
Come on. It doesn't matter.
The Bean effect.
And he's like,
if Sean Bean turned up in like a children's TV program, he would still die.
Yeah.
As long as it was good.
Playtime with the Teletubby, Sean Bean gets rabid.
He gets beaten by that, the Hoovery thing.
Gets choked out by it. Anyway, back to Skyrim.
Baby son burns him alive.
That'd be hilarious. It gets too close. That rages at him and just fries him. Yeah. When the game came out, I was running a dual GPU setup.
Oh, yes.
And you must remember this because I ranted about it. I screamed so loud about it that I think everyone within 150 miles would have heard my rage. So I had two graphics cards. Two. That doesn't equal double the performance of one card. It's like one and a half-ish, right? Lucky. But it's still plenty good enough performance on every other game I had on my system at the time. And I had a lot. My Steam library was huge back then, too. So we load up Skyrim. And I was like, nah, you know, there was a chap who I knew who was overhyping the ever-loving crap out of it, which was kind of killing it. But I was like, this is going to look really good. It can't look any worse than Oblivion. Elder Scrolls games are always fun to walk around and dick around in. Let's see how this... What the fuck is going on with the frame rate? What? What's all the... Oh my god, this is running worse than an Atari game! So I did a little bit of digging. I was benching it over and over and over again just to see what the hell the problem was. I was like, I'm gonna pull one of my graphics cards. The performance almost doubled.
Mm-hmm. Sky, most of the issue where the very first version of it couldn't use more than 4 gigs of RAM.
Yeah, I believe that was a thing too.
Yes, no, it didn't. They had to patch that out because I remember because I had a 16 gig PC.
Yeah, same.
And like, you can only use 4 gigs of RAM. Why are you still? Why you do realize that 32-bit operating systems have disappeared now? They're not a thing really anymore now. Why only 4 gigs? They patched that out with later on.
Yeah, the trouble with Bethesda is it takes them a while.
It does make you think. Bethesda really sat there thinking, "What do you mean people aren't still running Windows 98?"
But I went onto the old forums. I was like, "Is it just me or is this fucking broken?" And I'm thinking, "No, that's a really daft thing to say on the forums, really, of a Bethesda game, isn't it? Because it's always broken." Do you know what the thing was? They said rather than it'll be patched in time.
Don't put the card back in.
Yeah, leave the fucking card out. I was like, I'm going to nerf my PC because you bastards are too lazy to patch it. Fuck you. I played it for about an hour and a half, not including the many loops I'd done of the intro. I was like, I can't play this. I'm sick of this. You fucked me about with Oblivion, with your horse armor and your stupid patch for the Vampire Quest that turned out to be paid DLC and all this other fluff. Because, you know, the quest was broken, you weren't going to fix it. But we have got a patch, you just have to pay for it. Thanks, Bethesda. You
could fix that by going into the German version of the game on PS3 anyway, which is really weird.
So you yeah, but never, German language. I don't think they never fixed the Blood on the Ice mission in the console version, did they?
Don't think so.
I have no idea.
Awesome.
I'm not really sure.
We've got fireworks. Right.
Wankers.
Shush, dog. Shush. Oh, dear. They'll be barking shortly.
Let's just say I was getting sick and tired of their shit. And so pretty much from that point on, I was like, no, everything you release is fucking hot shite. I'm not going to give you any more of my money. I'm not giving you any more of my time. I was somewhat looking forward to it, but just no. So 6 years, is it 6 years thereabouts have gone past? Since
yeah, it will be. Like that, yeah. 11-11-11, wasn't it? The phones.
Oh, yeah.
Skyrim comes out on the Nintendo Switch. It was a nightmare to get hold of, by the way.
Oh, really?
I had to argue with Amazon because they missed my slot many fucking times. Thank you. But got a hold of it because I was like, you know what? Doom was a pretty decent port. Let's see how Skyrim goes. Let's have another take. Let's get rid of the hatred and see how it goes. Still horribly broken, but the port itself is really, really good.
I've seen a lot of videos. It does look like they've done a good job. Oh, they've prioritised the right things.
It's good. It looks good. It plays well.
Decent frame rate, you know.
Well, decent frame rate being 30.
30, yeah.
But then, considering wasn't the older console versions 30 anyway, so not really that big of a deal.
No.
It's kind of a mix between the original and the new remaster version, so like you've got new water effects stuff on it.
Some of the...
I'd say the upgrade, but also I know it's the Switch, which is powerful, but even that's a lot more powerful than the PCs back in 2011, I'd have thought. I mean, processing one must be more powerful than that. Have they optimised it and made the graphics a little bit flashier?
Oh, yeah, it does look better than it did when it first came out. Yeah. It's a mix of the new remastered Skyrim that came out on consoles not too long ago.
Yeah, it's in like PS4 it's like ones.
It's a mix of the two. Kind of thing. So you get like new water effects. There's some new texture splashed about, and that there's still some pop. So you're walking along and grass kind of spawns in front of you, but it's quite away in the distance. It hasn't really bothered me. I won't go as far as to say I'm enjoying it, but it's a good laugh breaking the ever loving shite out of it, as Bethesda games usually are.
How the motion controls in it?
Yeah, there aren't any. Woo!
Hang on a second. I mean, there aren't any. I thought the whole point was you were going to draw a bow back.
Oh, you can, but you don't have to use them. Woo!
But have you tried to see if they actually sort of work?
No. What the fuck do I want to use motion controls for? That's retarded.
It'd be nice to try and see if they work.
No, I've been told, though, for archery, it's really good because you've got precision aiming with the bow. So that's pretty good because I am absolutely awful with a bow in Skyrim.
I always choose. Well, I choose the archery for Skyrim.
I enjoyed
that sneaking and everything.
Sure,
I went to an arch. I aimed to be an arch across in Oblivion. That was a mistake. my battle technique in Oblivion was jump on top of a rock the NPCs couldn't climb, and go.
That still happens.
And just watch they turn to a pin cushion, and eventually after about 100 hours, they die. And that was my time to everything. What I used to do when I was getting, because I just couldn't fight one on one. If I used to get into a mine or something like a little dungeony mine thing, I would get the enemies to charge me. I'd go back outside, climb on top of it, and wait for them to come out, and then I'm a hero.
Can someone toss me up some arrows?
At one point, I was getting a group of them. You laugh. I ran out of arrows. I had to jump down, search for the bodies, pick as many as I was going to do. Just hold on, guys. Arrow.
They come running at you. Witch! What?
That's the one thing I love about Oblivion was you can't sleep with their enemies nearby, you can't fast travel, but you can search someone's corpse with their enemies nearby. Yeah.
The AI in even in Skyrim to this day is still derped to all hell. Yeah. So Frost Troll comes running at me and I'm like, so one of the things I used to like doing in older Elder Scrolls games was breaking the physics of the game, like just kind of abusing the fact that Bethesda can't code.
There's usually one item, isn't there? There's always one item that completely defies physics. Because in Griffin, there's paintbrushes.
Well, what it was in Skyrim that I've been doing so far is I've been scaling up cliffs. Yeah. If a cliff is too tall or too steep for you to walk up, just jump at it.
Yes.
And then start wiggling the analog stick forwards, backwards, and towards the wall. And usually do it sideways and keep spamming jump. Yeah. And eventually you will start to kind of stick to the wall.
That works in most first-person shooters anyway, or first-person games anyway.
But
and third-person.
You do that, so I'm starting to scale all these cliffs, only to end up getting wiped out by an enemy that I was nowhere near supposed to be... I've somehow managed to hop up to the end boss. Hi, guys.
Oh, I love that. It's a vision of your character going, nearly there. Pew! Who are you?
Yeah, that's it. Dead. I was doing that, and, Frost Troll start turning up. So I basically did what you did. It's like, I always path around, like, oh, I always hop around on things to see how much I can break the AI. And it's like, oh, I'm like stood right in front of it, but I'm about a foot higher than I was a second before. And it's like, oh, where's it gone? Where's it gone? It starts walking around. Or in one case, it just walked away. And I was like, I'm still here, mate. Started firing arrows out. I was just like, oh, there's something sting me in the back of the head. I'm just going to keep on walking. What's going on? Moments. Get back onto the ground. And he's like, there he is. Charges at you. In one case.
So when you're on the rock, he can't see, you don't exist. As soon as you get on the ground, he suddenly turns psychic. And he knows where you are.
He's back again. Going to get him.
I felt the vibrations through the soil.
Hello.
You said he's back again, which is perfect timing for that.
Yeah. Hello, Charles.
Uh-oh. I think there's fireworks, wasn't there, Charles?
Oh, poor mate. Are you right? Was it because I was going, ah? Is that our Skyrim rage? You remember that, don't you? But, no, there was one part where I managed to glitch out one of the enemies, and it just decided it was going to stop attacking me. I was just going to stand there and get absolutely
murdered. Think of the sound, Charlie. Think of the sound.
So the game is still pretty horribly broken. It's okay.
Yeah.
But, and for anyone that doesn't know what an Elder Scrolls game is, it's just a big open world thing where you...
Yeah, it's got to be fun on handheld.
Fantasy RPG.
Yeah, Lord of the Rings, Starly.
Right, all you need to know is it looks well, it plays well, it looks good, it plays well, controls are pretty solid, portable and docked looks pretty good.
Yeah.
Nothing really dodgy shoehorned in, and it's as a Bethesda game, it's still horribly broken.
Awesome.
But because it isn't as horribly broken as the PC version was when I first tried to play it, it's not as bad as it used to be.
Yeah.
So I can see myself probably putting in a good few hours into it. And I've made sure that I'm not going to fast travel at all in this playthrough. Because I want to see all the little events.
That's why Poonot's my hours.
Yeah. You know, I might still, to say, try to walk down a hill. No reason for me to die. You know? So, yeah, like that.
Yeah.
Just walking down the.
You tripped and fell.
Oh, yeah, just like broke both of my legs, my neck, spilled out all of my inventory over the cliff. It's just like, not a problem. And then, like, what was it? Oh, yeah, he just stubbed his toe on that rock.
Which a freak can be guilty of that as well, though. More than short, you know, falling a short distance and dying.
I didn't even fall. I was walking down a hill.
Then goes the death animation.
And just like,
yeah, yeah.
And then I said, yeah, you're gonna have to start all the way back. And I was like, what? Or the woman that started threatening me, don't come any closer. And she goes for the dagger on her belt, pulls her dagger, and I haven't moved an inch. And then she goes. And she like starts like doing like a little dance with her.
Yes.
Like, oh yeah, and her mate just pulls out her axe and starts running at me. I'm like, but I ain't done anything. And then she's still standing there going, oh yeah, got my dagger. What was the other one that happened? Oh yeah, the game did actually catastrophically fail and boot me out of it.
Nice.
So
yeah, that's always gonna happen to those games.
Oh god. The times it just killed me for no reason, I was like, there's no enemies about. I'm a hulking great barbarian, and I'm wearing boots, so I couldn't have stubbed my toe. Oh, I stubbed my toe. That's how all my health went away.
My worst was when I was dying, and I went through a door to the outside, and my character died. The animation have come out the doorway.
Quick save,
how hilarious that would be for the NPCs at that moment.
Yeah.
You're saying, then all of a sudden, door comes out, just a pit tail, and goes, ugh.
That's basically how I came out the door, just died. Because it was a cave, I just ran through it, you know,
comment YouTube video, it's this guy, and he's obviously just looked like the sort of, you know, the sort of Dover King, that sort of Viking-esque helmet they have, child Dover King. And he's running around, he's got his also sort of, in cosplay, running around this sort of forest, he's got the axe, he's sort of like fighting things, and he walks this clear, there's this little flower, he picks it up, and just falls straight over, and just says, you are over encumbered.
That's it. Don't even get me started with that. Oh, hey, and I'm not even the kind of guy to loot everything in sight, too often. But, you know, I am trying to buy a house, so I need to steal everything. I can't earn money. So I just murder everything. Do you know what really fucking does my head in when I think I'm about, like, oh, yep, I'm going to do this thing in, and then all of a sudden, this enemy just kind of slid off the hill. It's like, are you supposed to be here? And all of a sudden, this really ominous music started playing, and this thing just comes up and just bam! And it's like, you're dead. And I was like, what? When was the last time you saved? I was just going to load the last save point. That was nearly 300.
I'm level one again.
That was 300 miles over there before I was running around in my underpants. What the hell? Like, oh, good old game. Good times, good times. There was loads of like just little glitchy things. Because you can do the little 30-second record video clip thing on the Switch. I've got tons of them. Of just the game going really derpy on me. It's like, oh yeah, you can climb that cliff, no problem, you're not dead. But as soon as the second you try and walk forwards 3 feet, you're dead.
Yeah.
Or you tried to pick that thing up, you're dead. Or that guy came over and he somehow managed to cliff or like clip over his thing, like over his walking path, fall into the area that you're in now and wipe you the fuck out. And now he's going to be there forever. Get ready to run, sons of bitches.
I was listening to another podcast. I was saying about when the patch they put in for the PC version accidentally started spawning horses whenever you fast travelled. So you fast travel, there'd just be a horse there.
How creepy would that be? You're like, the hell?
Apparently, you'd fast travel, the horse would be there, and they just like, sort of like, I'm not meant to be here, just wander off back to its stables.
It's like, off I go. So it turns out like it's right near a volcano. And you go.
That would happen, yeah.
It's a nice looking world to explore.
Yeah.
Some of the NPCs make me want to punch them in the face because they just turn up out of nowhere. Yeah. Like, I swear they're clearly, I wouldn't say they're psychic, they're definitely psychopathic. Like, I was just walking along. I was like, oh, I'm just reading a book. And this guy runs at me. Hey, oh my God. And I was like, fuck, mate. Threw my book in the air. Shit myself, literally, as I'm sat on the sofa. What do you want, mate? And it's like, oh, there's someone in the tomb. And I let my aunt go in by herself. She's a feeble old woman. And I'm this big hulking bloke with a sword and a shield. But she's gone in there and everything's gone wrong. And now I need to go and help her. Will you do it? And I'm like, well, fuck, mate. After I get a clean pair of shorts, I didn't even fucking see you anywhere near here. I got lost myself.
Yeah. Have you had, now question, does it have any of the other DLCs?
It's got all of the DLC.
So have you had children coming up to you yet?
No,
because I remember going off Skyrim after I put all the DLCs, got on Borman as a pack, and I was just in the village, I think it was right one, and this child just walks up to me and says, hello there. And the conversation option basically is, hi. Yeah, and then it goes on, we'll buy a flower. Why are you selling flowers? You know you only get one option to speak to.
Yeah.
And it goes on, why are you selling flowers? Oh, because my mum is dead, I'm an orphan. Oh, right, that's pretty sad. Terrible dialogue. And it's like, yeah, I don't really have anything to live now. Then the only option you've got is, you can come live with me now. It's like, that's just creepy.
You can come and live with me now, but I'm a harmless bum travelling from town to town.
As I was saying, I don't have a house. But I did, well, in that situation, I did have a house, and I thought to myself, what am I going to do with you? I don't want to adopt you, you're asking me to come. Then she said, oh, you've got nowhere for me to live. I thought, how do you know that? Have you been researching me before you began? Was this a cunning con that you just come up with?
That's it.
You're researching me. I give a call.
Another kid comes out. No, that one.
Yeah. Is it just? Have I just figured out that in Sky? I think Sky, basically, if you give a child any form of merch you've had, you own them. I mean, good if this work in real life. Can you imagine next time that's all? You know, in, like, well, it's not much here, but in, like, America, when the Girl Scouts knock on the door,
is you find a coup.
I think it might be.
Oh my God!
They come selling something to you. You actually brought them.
Oh God, no!
But my form is, hang on a second. I've got, you know, a house which has got a house car, but it's got a spare bed that I never use because I'm always out in the wilds. Who can use that?
Yeah.
Lydia can look after you. That's fine. Yeah. What's Lydia? I can't remember her name. She can look after you.
The lady who joins you. Yeah. I remember her name.
Yeah, she can look after her because I don't take care. She stays at home.
Yeah, she just chills out and does nothing.
It's like just do that.
She's going to look after all your. I'm going to charge her to look after all your property for you. And I'm like, what property? Well, you can now buy some. Oh, I've got an epic quest to do. I didn't even realise that I had an epic quest to do. I was just running for my life 10 minutes ago.
other than in the sky where you could have bookshelves, you could put books on the bookshelves and they'd appear. Mm. But occasionally the physics would go wonky, they just explode off the bookshelf.
Oh, Bethesda.
That
was clearly a pretty tight book.
Yeah.
Well, no, it's just really, sometimes it's just a bit creepy when an NPC will run 2/3 of the map to come and see you. It's like, what do you want, mate? You're getting a little too excited.
And if you run away from them, they just keep following you.
Yeah.
They're like the Terminator. They never leave you alone.
I'm just wondering, like, if you keep on running, like, they just keep on getting more and more and more of them just keep coming at you. And you're like, oh my god, you look behind you and there's this wave. Like a zombie horde.
I had one chasing me and I knew he was going to give me a quest. I couldn't be asked to do it. So I fast travelled to the other side of the map in like this random mine somewhere. And then I went away to go get some tea. Didn't pause the game. I was sat there. Hi, I'm glad I found you. I thought, what the fuck?
That's where your tea goes.
And then, oh my god! He just walked the entire map to come see me. And how did you know I was here?
Are you in with that orphan? You've locked the door from the inside, and somehow when you come back, you've got to sit down in front of your thing. You've got your meal there, and rather than opening the door, he just goes, "Bing, hi." You're like, "Ah!" Off goes the fucking plate. Off goes the table. Because they do. They just appear for no reason. It's like, there's a dragon coming, and loads of people have died. Where? No one's dead. Everyone else that I've killed is still on the floor, but this dragon seems to be a master because there's no one here. There's not even a dragon. Oh, dear. But no, good port. The only downside is it costs a lot.
Yeah.
60 quid or something?
40.
40 quid.
Which, you know, they had to port it over and stuff, and it is a mix of the old and the new, and it's got all the DLC in it, and I'm sure it's going to suck away all of my life if I let Bethesda do it. Or until the next game-breaking bug. which I'm expecting to happen in the next 10 minutes. We're not playing it right now. It's still going to break. It's a Bethesda game. My Switch is probably right now disintegrating.
Look, it wouldn't be a Bethesda game if it worked.
No, it's part of their charm, really.
Bethesda do far better publicity out of all the bugs in their games than they ever do about making the games themselves.
Yeah. No, I'll agree with that. Yeah.
But decent game overall.
I won't go as far as to say it's I am not chewing through tables anymore with rage because the graphics, the performance can't get any worse.
No.
So I've already seen it at its worst, and that was on a gaming PC. Mm.
I always preferred the world of Skyrim to Oblivion. Oblivion was just a little bit too fairy tale for me.
I spent far too many times in those Oblivion gates to really remember much about the world.
But the rest of the world, the sort of villages, I always just felt a bit fairy tale to me. Skyrim felt a bit.
I will admit, in Oblivion, I didn't spend too much time in villages because I ended up with vampirism and everyone was fucking terrified of me.
If you're vampirism, aren't you vulnerable to fire?
You're vulnerable to existence when you're a vampire.
Oblivion Gate is the best place to go if you're a vampire.
Yeah, but this is why I spent most of my time there. What else can I do? Oh, there's an Oblivion Gate there. Sod it, I'm going to do that then. But the quest you need to do is right there. I can't go in there because
I've got an idea of these people. They see you come out, you've just closed like half of the Oblivion Gates. Oh, well done. He's a fucking vampire.
That was how it worked. And then some people said to me, well, why don't you just go there at night because you're a vampire? Because every fucker's asleep. And if I break into their house, the guards come after me.
Yes, psychic guards. How do they know?
I know.
They're insane. But was Oblivion the one with the, there was like a Colosseum kind of thing and the end guy was a troll?
I think so. That's part of the Imperial City, I think, where that happens.
That made me so sad.
Yeah, there was a vampire orc in the
end. That made me so sad. That was the one time I was enjoying that. I was like, just murdering people left and right. And I decided to fuck off and do some side quests. And there's a bit in one of those side quests about that orc.
Yes.
And if you go to fight him after you find that out...
If you tell him.
Yeah. He freaks the fuck out and just stands there and lets you kill him. And I was like, Oh, fuck, this is shit. That's not fun anymore.
The storytelling.
You should... Yeah. I've never seen anyone's soul get crushed that badly. I've burnt down entire villages and still had people come at me. That guy was like, yeah, you know all that like fancy stuff you believe about yourself? The only proof I've seen of that, it's written in crayon on the back of this coaster.
Yeah. God, this is in Oblivion. Oh, my! I used to live in Kvatch, it's all been burnt down. Have I told you about the Grey Fox?
Whoa! You are doing good, you're clearly on the happy
place. The best was when you met the two of us used to meet up and they used to randomly say dialogue to each other. There was, I don't think there's any thoughts, it was just random dialogue. And it was like one point started off quite nice and one would get very aggressive, but nothing would happen.
There's that one part and walk away.
There's that one character, female, and you're talking to her and she says, I'm just going to do that line again. And they kept it in there and she does the line twice. Plus, you hear her say, let me just do that one again. You can check that on YouTube somewhere. And she actually said, you know, they kept the whole bit in there. They forgot to edit it out.
Oh,
said, let me do that again. She repeats the same line slightly differently.
Yeah. Good time. GG, Bethesda. Yeah.
Good game.
I'm pretty sure that was... It's all right.
You love all Switch games, didn't you? There's no bad Switch games that you've played, are there?
Oh, there's quite
I've heard that Mario game's really good.
Mario Odyssey is incredible.
I've heard it's so good. I'm actually going to buy a Switch just to play it because it's the best game.
Oh, mate, I've got to play it.
Yeah.
Game of the year.
You're clearly insane. And if you were to buy a Switch to play a Mario game, then the whole world would explode. My God. Yeah, I've played Mario Odyssey. I have.
You got 10 out of 10.
Better or worse than Homer's Odyssey? We have discussed the ancient classics on this podcast.
No. Maybe we would just say you're not a big fan and move on.
It's... Right. To me, Mario Odyssey suffers with Breath of the Wild syndrome. It's... If it were a game by any other name, I reckon it would have been pretty good or pretty fun. But for me, it wasn't what I wanted out of a Mario game. I haven't played a great deal of it, but the worlds feel incredibly short. I don't like that cap mechanic very much.
No.
And I hate the motion controls.
Yeah, they are very unnecessary. I've got 720 odd moons, so that's only how much I've played it.
Christ. And how many did you need to finish the game again?
999 is kind of the total.
Yeah, but that's not the end of the game.
No, you don't need need about 200 and so.
So you've been doing the happy wanker movement a lot, I presume.
Fair bit, you got holes and stuff.
It's, you have to look, your goddamn thing to make it go.
That bothers you a lot more than it does me, but that is totally unnecessary.
It's the ones that you, it's the moves that you can't do, or the moves that aren't. So, okay, in Mario Odyssey, it's a 3D platformer, standard Mario fare, with a gimmick, in that you've got your hat, and you can throw your hat, and you can jump on your hat, and you can use your hat to enslave enemies. So you can
it's actual terminology.
It's quite dark.
You know? Yeah, you can become a Bullet Bill, you can become a Goomba, you can, you know, and they all have like different attributes, like Goombas can't slip on ice, Bullet Bills you can fly through the air.
Yeah.
And things like that. But some of the moves you can just press a button, and then other moves, and some of them say, you can press a button, or you can wiggle your Joy-Cons, or there are other moves that are like, well, to do this move, you have to wiggle your Joy-Cons. It's like, I've got a control pad.
Yeah, if you've got a pro controller, you have to do that.
I have to do the old wanking motion with my entire control pad, which is horrible when you're in portable mode, because you've got your entire Switch in your hand. Right, you're going to shake your fucking Switch. She's fucking wailing this console about, and I'm like...
Yeah, that's really weird, portable mode.
It just breaks the immersion for me.
I barely played on portable. Maybe that would bug me more if I had done, because that does seem really daft.
It just seemed really silly that some of these... I wouldn't mind if all of them had a control input and a motion.
Yeah.
But even at the start of the game is like, try playing with the Joy-Con separated. It's like, but you can also use pro control pad, using it in portable mode, using it with the grip, whatever. It's like, so why don't you give me all of the commands, all of the controls, all of the skills with a control input? Some of them do have them, but they don't tell you how. And it's just like, really?
Yeah, that's how they made the journos and stuff. Like, Player E3, they had separated Joy-Con, Joy, you know, cons to do it that way, but...
It looks nice.
Oh, yeah.
From what I've played, it plays well.
Yeah.
But it's not what I want from a Mario game. Same with Zelda. Looked brilliant, plays pretty well for what it is, but it wasn't a Zelda game for me. A lot of people really, really, really like Mario. Yeah, you really like Mario Odyssey.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to say that you're wrong.
No.
So far, it hasn't clicked with me. But then I'm the kind of guy that likes to learn the mechanics of the game and then break the ever-loving hell out of it.
Yeah.
It's kind of easy to do in Bethesda games, like Skyrim. Just walk at a cliff.
Nintendo releases their game slightly more finished, normally.
Yeah, it works. But the world seems so small. I'm not even talking about the first one with the dinosaur in it, which was literally the same size as my living room.
They do get a little bit bigger, and there are a lot of secret areas that you slowly discover. Like, you go through doorways, and you get like a whole massive new area in them, and there are bits where they do get bigger and a bit more interesting, but... Like I said, I'm a big fan anyway, so I just sort of...
It's just you can blast through it so quick. I mean, I can't imagine that game... At the rate I'm going through it, I can't imagine it taking much more than, 4 to 8 hours?
Well, maybe, but once you are done, there are new things you can do once it's completed. There are way more moons become available and new worlds as well.
I just don't see Mario Odyssey being like Mario 64 for me. Mario 64, I played that to completion.
Yeah, that was a little bit different, wasn't it? Because every time you got the moon or the star or whatever, it kicked you out of the level.
Yeah, it kicked you out of the level. Whereas in Mario Odyssey, you can go, moon one, moon two, and you are literally just powering through, picking up the power moons that you need to go to the next world.
Yeah.
I mean, in literally minutes, I was just grabbing at anything I could see, picking up all these items. I was just like... The thing is, though, with Mario 64... You wanted to know if anything happened when you've got all of the stars. In Mario Odyssey, I don't really care.
No, right, yeah.
I like that it kind of feels a bit like a... what's that story about the Greek guy who shit happens to him at the start? Well, this is pretty much every story that starts in Greece. Something really shitty happens at the start, and then he has to go and find his wife and goes through this journey, traveling to different areas and solving problems. And it's every story ever. I can't remember what this one was actually called. But either way, it kind of feels like Nintendo have ripped off this one specific story.
Yeah.
Neat. But, I don't know, it just doesn't... The worlds feel too small.
I can see that argument, but... They do get a little bit bigger and a little bit more interesting to explore later on. But, you know, I say I'm a big fan of the game, so I kind of... If there are little flaws, I see you over, while to you, they're really big because you're not such a fan.
Well, it's not that I'm not a fan, because I've been playing Mario games since I was a child. Just the problem is, if I'm burning through, you know, a 40, 50 quid game like that, then there's a bit of a problem.
Yeah. There are more worlds than you probably expect, though. So I think
maybe.
I'd be interested to see if you do come.
If I come around.
More.
I mean, I reckon if I start getting used to that, if I can get over the motion controls, or if I can find a way to do some really cool tricks without using the motion controls, great.
Yeah, that is definitely an issue with the game. That's, that definitely is an issue with motion controls being forced in like that.
And, oh god, isn't the first, that forest with the poison?
Oh, yeah.
Make that go away. Whoever thought that was a good idea? No. Hey, throw your hat, that sweeps away poison. Was it?
Oh, the plants, that's bad, yeah. That is irritating, that, yeah.
God, make it go away. Please make it go away.
I thought you'd be a fan of that bit, being such a big Splatoon fan, but...
Oh god,
That's got a massive update on the way, isn't it, in December?
I'll be honest, I don't know, because I missed not the last map, Splatfest, but the one before it.
Oh,
completely
yeah.
missed it and didn't even realise. Didn't even care.
New characters, new maps, everything, all that stuff. Totally free.
Fair enough.
So, just released for it. December something.
I've only been playing Splatoon 2 once a month.
Yeah.
I've been playing the Splatfest and I haven't bothered playing it since.
Yeah, great to make the game last.
Where are we up to in the Splatfest? Because last one we talked about was Werewolves versus Vampires.
Oh, that's the one I skipped out.
Oh,
I completely skipped it and didn't even care.
What's the new one then?
I have no idea.
Yeah,
they haven't announced one because the last one that I saw was America only. And apparently the Vampires and Werewolves one might have been America only. I think the last one they did was Hot and Cold Breakfasts.
Hot, clearly.
Yeah.
Last time I was there, it was the toilet roll.
Yeah.
Back in front.
Yeah. We solved that through science.
Ah, front, presumably.
Yeah, we did. We did discover through science and reasoning.
Yep, front roll.
Nice, yeah.
He's an experiment.
Okay. Yeah, I'm Tom
Scott.
I don't
know all the details, I mean.
Tom Scott believes that the back roll is the best way. I completely disagree. You know the park bench?
Yeah, with
Matt and Tom. Matt was on my side saying front roll, and he actually said the same thing as me. That the any back roll, if there's any chance that it's going to stick to the wall, or stick to the area behind it, you don't want back roll. The benefits of stopping children from unraveling it and stopping cats and things from unraveling it doesn't matter if it's stuck to the wall or it's covered in someone else's shit or it's damp. Nah.
Yeah. Now you see, I had this, but by sheer question, I don't care. And we've talked about in three different podcasts. I happened to mention this at home. And my mother just went, well, clearly it should be towards the back, obviously. Really, like, sort of, like, pulling
this. Yes, like, really aggressive.
Whoa! Yeah. That was not a smart thing. It's like, the other way, stupid. Whoa, okay.
Hey, well, I've done scientific experiments here.
We didn't
She's wrong.
She's wrong, yeah.
We don't actually have a toilet roll holder currently. We just put it on the thing next to it, so we're not front or back.
You're savage.
We just stick it up.
Sideways.
Yeah.
Just pick it up.
Oh, but are you putting it from the left or the right?
I can't remember from where I'm
sitting. It changes every time.
Just to look over your shoulder.
And sometimes when he's bored, he throws it in the air and catches it and tries to pull.
Well, sometimes I stand up and look what I've done, you see. And then
you go for a trick wipe, he just gets the roll, attaches it, and then just spins it. Good times.
Or to take a shower.
Every time he takes a crap, he goes to have a shower straight away.
Every house has a bee day.
Dear. The shower.
Anyway,
it's funny how we went from Mario Odyssey to taking a crap.
Have you been playing anything, Nick, new?
I have.
Oh my god.
Oh, yeah.
Was it Mario Odyssey on Nintendo Switch?
No, it was not.
Was it something with motion controls that are really horribly shoehorned in?
Sort of, in the sense that my hands have to move.
Oh man.
I've been playing Hacknet.
Ooh.
So, for those who missed the podcast, Tom.
Sorry.
A couple of podcasts ago, I reviewed a game called Code 7, and that was a game based around hacking. And Scar suggested to me, have you played Hacknet? And I said, I've got it, but I've not played it. So he said, play that. So I did. And it's a game based around hacking.
Mm.
So it's quite simple. You start off, you'll get this message from this guy called Bit. Well, he's not called Bit, he's obviously his pseudonym. And it's a bit like...
Turns out it's Hessen's birth certificate.
But you know, actually, that's what it makes you think heavily of Uplink. Can you start Uplink, which is a game from the early 2000s or late 90s?
It does ring a bell, but...
I can't... Well, either or.
Yeah, it's very early on, yeah. And
good game.
Very good game.
Okay.
And you basically play a role of a hacker. And it all starts like... You know,
you play the role of a gardener.
Yeah. And it all starts like to make it sort of immerse you. So when you start the game, you have to sort of create an account with this server, which is what you do in Hacknet as well. I mean, Hacknet, coolly, firstly, it does put loads and loads of a terminal window. Actually, it runs loads via a terminal. I don't think it needs to. I think it just does it just for laughs. But you know,
it's got to. You're not a hacker if you're not using a terminal.
I mean, it boots up, but it's also meant to be based. It's based on Unix commands, so thereby the way Linux commands as well, because they're very similar.
Mm-hmm.
Unix-like, yeah, and it all boots up. And basically, you are this hacker, so you get presented this interface. You have like an interface bit that shows you the computer sort of GUI. You then have a terminal window. You then have a little bit that shows you the map of all the computers in the network.
Mm-hmm.
And it shows all the Kapoos you hack, basically, just there forevermore, basically, in this network window. And then on the far right screen, well, actually, it varies, you can get different themes. But the one I've got at the moment on the far right, I have a section which has got all your running programs. Mm-hmm. And basically, you have, well, you've got 760 odd megabytes of RAM, this space, and every program you run uses some of that RAM up. So you try running too many programs, it'll basically won't let you run them.
Mm-hmm.
And even things like doing notes, if you put a note up there, that uses up a chunk of RAM. So if you fill your site up with all these notes and information about what you need to do, you might not be able to run any programs.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd be a bit careful. Mm-hmm. So the idea is you're
coming with... you've got a pen and paper next to your desk.
Yeah. You laugh.
Hard copy, mate.
Well, in my case, taking photos of the stuff on my phone. So
you can't do that because the government are watching your phone and they're like, oh shit, he's a Lee Hacker.
They probably do feel they look at this. So you get conversations.
GCHQ called... are looking at it. Oh my god.
Yeah. You get this guy, kind of this guy called Bit, and he asks you basically, he's got this like kill switch on his computer that if he doesn't reset every 14 days, it basically sends out sort of an email to people who he wants to sort of be hackers to sort of avenge him.
Mm-hmm.
And basically he writes this thing, but says, you know, if you read this, I'm probably dead. I'm going to give you some direction what you need to do. And he starts you off by teaching you how to do the basics of hacking.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite neat because it's designed very much like how a computer works. So if you want to hack something, you have to first of all connect to it via your IP address. You have to probe it to look for any running network ports, which again is actually what you would do.
Mm-hmm.
It's obviously a very simplified version of ESG, but you probe it.
It gives you a taste,
you probe it.
It gives you a taste of the fun bits.
Yeah, and then you'll have a number of ports, and some people don't need to hack a port at all, you just literally port out and go straight in. Some you need to bypass the port's defences, so you need bits of software to do it. But you don't have all software straight away, so you have to like sort of get bits of software, and gradually you'll get to computers you can't hack yet because you haven't got the software to bypass it. Some of firewalls that you have to sort of analyse and find, and you have to actually analyse and find the sort of code words to get past them. Some will have proxies, which you have to use other computers to basically hack through.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to set like these shadow accounts, because I do a proxy, you have to overload it with information, like do a DDoS attack.
Mm-hmm.
So you basically, any computer you've got admin rights onto, you can like put a shell program, which again sits in your memory. And when you go to the one you want to target, you can use those shell programs to overload it.
Mm.
And the more shells you have, the quicker they'll overload it.
Yeah.
So you do all this, you hack in, and gameplay basically rolls around, you know, looking at files, copying files. Later on, you'll be editing them. So you might like change data in them. And if you do it, you'll pass the mission. You may want to find information. It's all pretty sort of basic stuff. Because to be fair, the thing about hacking, there's not many things you can do with it, to be honest. Mm. There's only so many objectives you can possibly have. But it's a mixture of... There's a timing element to it, because certain Kapoor, as soon as you start hacking them, you'll get a trace activate, and it'll start counting down time. And some Kapoor will trace you really quickly, some will take you a bit longer.
Mm-hmm.
That threw me at first. Because when it starts, you get a little counting screen. It starts from 99.
Mm-hmm.
So you just assume it's 99 seconds. It's not. It always starts at 99, but sometimes it'll go down a lot quicker.
Mm-hmm.
That actually throws me. That actually annoys me a little bit, because it's like I can't at a glance see how much time I've got left. I'd rather it be, okay, you've got 99 seconds, what hacks you, or you've got 30 seconds. Rather do that method, because then at least you can glue and see how much time you've got left, because obviously you can't judge it. You can't judge, can I just do it?
Well, let's be fair though, you can't really judge if you've been caught in a real hack.
No, of course not.
You don't know until 6 months later when the feds kick down your door.
That's true.
Got away with that one.
Doof.
Get on the floor.
Make sure you always delete your logs.
Oh dear.
I mean, it's got, but what I think the main bit of it is it's actually more like a puzzle game in a way, because it gives you the real bare basics of how to do stuff.
Mm.
But other than that, it leads to your own devices.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a bit small, about halfway in, basically you get hacked. This hacker gets into your computer and does the equivalent of deleting System 32.
Oh no.
What a dick.
And if you know that, so basically you lose all your geary stuff, you literally end up, your computer goes like, yeah, blue screen of death come up on your screen, then it reboots, and you reboot into just a terminal window. That's all you've got, it's just a terminal window, and you have to work out how to get your system back.
Hmm.
And I was able to, through just knowing the command, remembering the commands, find out where he was by looking at my log, find out who he was, because I need my System 32 file, I haven't got one to restore, hack back into his system, find his copy of System 32, copy it across to mine.
Hmm.
While I was there, I then deleted his entire operating system. Then went back to my computer and basically restored my computer.
He just runs shred on the guy's entire machine.
Yeah. I did. I wiped his entire computer. I basically got a Batman. And the way it did that, because obviously he had his own custom GUI, my system changed to match his GUI, which was really neat. It's a neat touch. And it's very neat how it keeps systems work as you expect them to. If you've done anything with terminals, whether that be through Linux or even Windows terminal, you've any experience dealing with them, how you expect the systems to work, it'll work. Yeah, every system has a command or a file directory, and you access it the same way. Doesn't matter if it's a web server, a website, they all have even the ones that are like just there, like your own email server you get your emails through, you can hack that server. You can hack your own computer if you really want to, although it's a bit silly because you have room access to it anyway. But you could do it if you really want to.
I'm going to lock myself out of my computer, and then I'm going to go over there and my laptop, and I'm going to hack into it.
Yeah.
I'm going to face roll the keyboard and encrypt everything.
You can, if you want, you could delete your own computer's operating system and screw yourself over and reboot it.
Good job.
And you can do this, and you can just edit it. So the way it commands, so it won't stop you doing it. So you can just look in all the, if you've got, say for example, you go in the file directory of any computer, you might not need to do that for the mission, but you can do it. You can look through it. It's consistent. Everything's consistent about how it works. You can copy any file you want and upload any file you want. It's consistent. Everything's consistent. That's what makes it a bit special, because there are a lot of, you often find in some games that when you're doing like puzzles missions, they'll actually just lock bits out you don't need to do. They just won't let you do it.
Yeah, go that way. No, that way.
Yeah. But this one's like, no.
But I can see the file there. I can go and see something over there. No. Look at the stuff over there. That kind of gets on my nerves.
Yeah, but this one says, no, if you, it will keep to it. If you can do it, you can do it. You can hack servers that are pointless. They don't do anything at all. They're just air, but you can mess them around as much as you like.
Easter eggs. And that'd be quite fun multiplayer. Like a multiplayer version of that kind of thing.
Can I throw out there, there is something that's a multiplayer hack, net. It's called a CTF, and it's where people sit in the same room as each other with different computers on a server, and then they try and hack each other.
Yeah.
That's got a little bit of this in it. There's a there's a server in it, which basically is a company's release saying, I don't know, you can hack this. And everybody, and you go on this form, and everybody's going, and there's a form which is quite well written, that everybody's saying, oh, well, I've tried this, I haven't got through this, and you just go in there, it's like, I'm an elite hacker, I'm going to hack this and delete it. So forth. I mean, it plays the old switcheroo of company names. So there's Macrosoft. There's Colonel Fried Chicken. But I don't know if it's deliberate or not, but they made a couple of mistakes. Obviously, you were going to call it KFC anyway. Because if you go into some of the files, it's still first to it, it's KFC. Yeah. But on the front, it's CFC, Colonel's Fried Chicken. So obviously, at certain points, they made a mistake and forgot to change the files.
KFC, Kentucky Fried Cow.
Yeah. A lot of the files have, there's quite a few typos in a lot of the files. Even supposedly from, like, sort of laws. So I don't think it's been done, it's just the inverted, a little bit of typos and stuff. But.
Yeah.
Nah, you ever read corporate documents? It's full of bloody typos.
It's quite neat. I mean, you can, like, you know, if you've got a website, you can access the website's index file, look at the website's index file, and it's very neat. So it's part puzzle, part time based, because it's nothing more stressful than your trying to hack the system. And some systems, once you've hacked them once, you've added once, you then have it forever. Some it resets.
Backdoor access.
Yeah. So there's this point where I was hacking the system, I was watching the counter going down, and I've literally sort of typed the next command ready and hit enter, I'm waiting for it to hack, and I've literally just typed in DC for disconnect and just waiting and watching, waiting for the hack. Like, if I hack this, so if you successfully hack it, it will either give you full admin rights from there on or reset it completely. So if you don't hack it completely, you're not going to get it. In some cases it will remember and stay partly hacked, and some cases it'll completely reset no matter what.
Partly hacked. I've never known something to be.
Well, you might open two ports.
Sure.
And when you go back to those two ports, will still be open.
That's hacked.
Well, but you might need four ports to get in.
Oh, fair enough.
Whereas in some cases you'll go back and the ports will all be set. In some cases you may hack all your way in, go around, do everything you need to, but if you leave and go straight back, it's all re-locked up again. So I'm sat there, I'm just waiting, I'm just watching the counter going down, I'm just waiting for it to go green. It goes green, she's hit it. I got a little cheer pop up because I had about less than half a second left in the time before I was going. So if you get trace, so you know in Uplink, if you got trace, it's game over. Mm. In Uplink, if you got trace, actually, it's delete your save file. That was, you know, proper sort of, that was it. Once you got Trace, that was it. Well, in story, they said that you were hacking via proxy in your PC. It was like the central farm. And if you got Trace, they basically blow your PC up. So you lost all your progress. Mm-hmm. That's how they sort of put it in game, what happened. And this one, what happens is basically you get blue screen death and then you just wait for your computer to reboot. So, but really...
And uplink, the feds are already outside your door. They're just waiting to bust you.
Yeah. So, it's a really good game. It does... I mean, as if you've used Terminal, it does sort of bring back memories of using Terminal, which obviously you're quite familiar with now anyway, because you use Linux.
Yes.
It does bring back memories of using those old Terminals. And I remember doing certain things. It does sort of, some of the commands even match up with the old Terminal Unix commands. They sort of try to copy them across, so it all sort of matches up. Mm-hmm. It is, once you sort of know what to do, it is quite straightforward. Mm. There is a case, most of the time, it's a case of doing your attacks in the right order to get in, or just being quick on the draw of typing the commands to get in quick enough so you get in. So it's not like there's a lot of... Don't say it's like a skill involved. There's definitely not a strategy involved into it. Mm. Once you've got a process of what to do, you'll do it every single time.
Mm.
And you get quite quick at doing it, but it's not... And basically, all that, the only difference between like a... hacking each port, for example, is just a bit of software. That's it. And once you've got software, you can hack it.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll have a different animation, they'll use different amounts of RAM up and so forth. So, look, we're there. It'd be nice if you could do things like upgrade the RAM of your computer, for example. That'd be a nice sort of upgrade, but because you only have 760 megs. This game came up 2 years ago, mm-hmm. so I'm not sure who had that back then.
Yeah, that's all, you're using your Raspberry Pi Zero, mate.
I think it must be, yeah. Mm. Must
your,
be.
Little, your little hack computer that you've got in your pocket, mate.
Yeah. So, but no, it's... Oh, that was, a fish.
Yeah.
So, what it was.
Just a fish
eats. Oh, what it always was. Yeah, so I do really recommend it. Mm-hmm. Particularly
good soundtrack, by the way.
Yeah, it's got a very good soundtrack. So have you played Hacknotes?
Yes.
Yes, how far have you got into it?
Oh, I don't remember, because it was a while ago.
Oh.
It's not on my Steam library either.
Oh, was it?
I don't actually remember how I played it.
You
I
just hacked it.
actually, that's actually a possibility.
I've
listened to the soundtrack an awful lot, though.
It is a good soundtrack.
But yeah.
It is a good soundtrack, but yeah, if it's sort of... It does, I would say, it does give you a rough idea of how hacking works. It's very abstract, but it's not that far that it's set. It does sort of say, if you want to get an idea of how people actually do hack things, it does give you a rough idea.
If
it's not accurate, it's not super accurate, but it gives you a rough idea.
If there's a normie looking over your shoulder, they're going to be like, oh my god, he's hacking.
Well, you laugh. I had this. I took some holly with me because I wanted the game to go on holly with me on my laptop.
I'm surprised you didn't get pinned to the floor with a gun to back.
Well, I was half expecting that I'd have, so I didn't know what interconnection I would have, so I thought, I'll have Hacknet, I can sit there, I'm running on my laptop, so I ain't got a kit and mouse or anything. I can do all the command prompts, it's great. Sat on the table, and I come, my friend walks in and goes, Vinick, what the fuck's happened to your computer? He thought something had gone seriously on my computer because it's this massive terminal window. Oh, it's fine, I'm just hacking things.
It's amazing.
So, do definitely recommend it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Right, Millermeister, you've returned.
Yeah, I have returned from Wilderness.
And what have you been playing from Wilderness?
Other than Mario Odyssey.
Other than Mario Odyssey.
It sucks.
It's been
amazing.
Mad Max, mostly.
Ooh.
Which I bought quite a while ago, because that originally came out at the same time as the movie Mad Max Fury Road.
Yeah.
But isn't really... There's no real connection to it. Obviously, you play Mad Max, but he looks completely different. There's none of the story elements connected between the game and the movie, but it came out at the same time, just for publicity reasons, I think. But it's by... I can't remember the name of the developer. I had it up with me earlier, but I just can't remember. But they're the guys who did Just Cause, so these big open world games.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Paraglide and parachute and all that kind of stuff. But it's a lot more precise than that. That was always a little bit of a mess, those games. And this one's a little bit more controlled and ordered, really. Basically, you start out with the game, and these naughty people get away with your car.
Bastards.
Yeah. And the main... background aim of the game is to upgrade your car to make it better and better over time, to get back to the kind of car you had to begin with, and you get car parts, you get new suspension and all this sort of stuff. But the only way to do that is to complete various story missions, and it's set in the wasteland. Anyone who's seen Mad Max knows what kind of world it is. It's, you know, just basically deserts and, you know,
I thought it was set in contemporary Australia.
No, well, yeah, some people might see it that way.
Current day Detroit.
Yeah. But there's little bits of civilization left, you know, like little...
Well, it's definitely not set in town, is it?
Yeah, tiny little bits, but not much. And then...
Size the audio.
Yeah.
Audio viewers, goddamn.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, sorry, audio viewers.
Hang on.
Ready? 1, 2, 3...
Oh, that was a fail. Go on, Mad Max.
Right, okay. So you get the basic structure is main story, side missions, and races. And also, anyone like Far Cry, in those games, you have to destroy camps.
Mm-hmm.
And
liberate camps.
There's a similar kind of thing in that, where you kill everybody in the camp, and then your own people sort of take over.
That could be interesting.
But the main aim of destroying... taking over the camps is to reduce the threat level of that main area. So, like, sort of kingpin.
I thought you could say reduce the population.
No, just you do reduce
you've
the population.
You've got it, you bastards.
But each region has a threat level, and the lower you get that, the more upgrades and missions become available. Like, you can get the car. I think the main aim is to get the car from a V6 to a V8 and then just do loads of stuff to make it better.
Which is the only thing that matters.
Yeah.
So, playing. No V12s, W16s?
No V12s. They all got destroyed in war.
Back in my day.
And then there's loads of other little things. There's like these giant scarecrow kind of things with people on, and you destroy them, you reduce the threat level. And it's open world.
I just say, you're reducing the threat level of them. And then I'm thinking to myself, holy shit, that guy's a fucking mentalist. Yeah. Threat
them,
level of round juice going up.
The threat level's really high.
Like, what the hell? We were just chilling out here, and he just came in with his random...
They sat there, round the campfire, saying, kumbaya. And then all of a sudden, this guy pulls up in his big Jeep.
Middlemost of rocks through fucking hippies.
Yeah. This is a peace camp. This is a peace camp. Die.
Yeah.
I'm reducing the threat level.
Goddamn hipsters.
Your threat level's too high. Start mangling people.
Yeah, you get like a main bad guy threat level for each area, but you also get like a good guy as well. And the more you reduce that threat level, the more missions he'll give you.
Mm-hmm.
And you can also upgrade the area. So they've got a main base, each of these good guy bosses. You can do things like maggot farms or water towers, and every time you do that, their area looks nicer and improves. But when you go back there, if you've got like the water farm, for example, your water canteen automatic refuels, and you can build like a fuel retainer as well. And every time you go back, your gas tank fills up completely, as they call it, your gas tank.
Gas tank.
It's, graphically speaking, it's pretty good. It's, you know, nothing spectacular, but it does look nice. The world itself looks really good.
I can give it a bonus point.
Yeah.
It's got Linux port.
Oh.
It does.
Yeah.
I think Feral Interactive did that one.
Oh, right.
I did the port on it.
I think it's Avalanche Games who did it. I think that's the name. But anyone who's played Arkham City, Arkham Knight, any of those Rocksteady Batman games, the fighting is basically a rip-off of that. It feels the same, like that heavy... impact kind of thing.
Mm.
You press triangle to do counters as people are attacking you. They all kind of attack you at once.
Press the button that appears on screen.
Yeah.
You win.
That's a little bit more violent than that, because you can obviously, you know, gut people completely and slice bits off.
Is it as violent as Doom?
No, it's not as violent as Doom. But it's very...
not
visceral.
Violent then, is it? I mean, Doom's quite middle of the road in terms of violence. I mean,
I'd say violence level is similar,
quite peaceful,
but it's not as gory as Doom. It's violent like that, but not as gory. There is some gore to it, though. It's very, very intense.
It's more dangerous to rearrange my sock drawer than it is to buy that.
It does get a little bit repetitive after a certain amount of time. You know, go here, reduce this threat level, this.
Okay, cool.
But then the main
kind of like Assassin's Creed, like, you know, you have to do the same kind of set of missions over and over and over again, but in a different place.
It's not as relentlessly repetitive as that can be sometimes.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah, the main missions are a little bit more, you know, freeform, and they do change things up a little bit.
That guy's a bad guy. He took a leak in that village's water supply. Do him.
And the car controls are actually really good as well. Like, the cars feel real.
That guy over there didn't pay his road tax. But there are no roads. He didn't pay his road tax. Do him. It's like, that good guy boss sounds like a right dead end.
That guy that hasn't got fully comp insurance.
That guy wasn't wearing a seatbelt. This guy doesn't even have seatbelts. He wasn't wearing a seatbelt.
Oh, that guy over there ran a red light.
That guy doesn't even have an MOT.
You don't really go after those guys so much. You go after more of the murderous, rapist kind of type people. Rather than tax dodgers and, you know. Yeah, that sometimes...
So not like the Mexican government.
So the three, is that the three classes? Murderous, rapist, tax dodgers.
And car thieves, probably.
Car thieves must be quite a big thing in Mexico.
At the beginning, you get proper thief, and then you can thief their cars.
What point do you upgrade your car with a thatch cam?
I don't think you do.
Do you have dash cam?
There's not really a great abundance of electricity left, so... No.
But lots of petrol.
So,
all these cars are these 12-volt adapter ports in. Put your adapter port in.
I don't think these ones do anymore. I think
that's rubbish. Nah. Well, who makes them? Ford?
I don't think you play that game for that kind of gameplay, though. I don't think that's what you get into it for, really.
Last I checked, Mad Max cars don't really have bodywork either.
No, this one barely does.
And look, it's got a Ford badge on it, and you find this pristine Ford Model T just chilling out in the middle of the desert. Yeah. Oh, my God. Well, look, hey. I'm going to go out for a drive in the Jag. I was like, there you go. Yeah. I've got my Jag.
I think one of the most fun things in that...
I love the fact that my Land Rover actually fit right in your modification.
Oh, dear.
But, yeah, you get, like, a grappling hook, so you can attach that to people and swing them all over the place. Or
strap them to the back of your car. Woo!
Yeah, you can do that to enemy's cars, and then you grapple hook to them, and then... Smash right into the back of them to do extra damage. That's kind of fun.
But surely that does massive damage to your car at the same time.
If you do it to them, it's not, you know,
magic happens.
You've just gone and buffered the front of your car with unicorn keys.
It's that situation where you get in, like a third person where you get in a computer car. You start, and also your car is like a tank. And anyone comes near you can't explode if you so much look at them the wrong way.
A little bit, but if they go for you, you can get damaged quite badly, but obviously you can then upgrade that. Grappling hooks also destroy the doors to camps and things like that, so you can get in them, and, you know, there's a lot of areas to explore as well. It's a lot of fun.
Do they open up more when you get more moons? You have motion controls.
No motion controls, no moons, I'm afraid. Except the one in the sky. Yeah. It's fun. Yeah, some good characters as well.
In my case, off player be like indicator roll.
Nick sat there with his driving rig.
Yeah,
I'll check.
Yeah, signal.
That's not really designed for that in mind.
Then some guy comes tearing past. What are these savages?
Yeah. You can build a maggot farm, but not an actual entire farm.
And Nick gets his little blue light and puts it on the top. Bloody savages, is a 30 limit. So Nick, it's a desert road. There are no speed limits here.
Yeah,
is it also bar?
I definitely recommend it. Mm. So, you know, it was really, really cheap at the moment. I picked it up on the PS Store for like a tenner.
It's probably about $2.99 on Steam.
They're really cheap, and it's better than you'd imagined a licensed kind of game to be. You know, it's a lot more fun, a lot more.
I think a lot of points, people have been so burnt with any. If a game comes out based on a film/TV license, people just got so burnt now, they just don't touch them.
Yeah, I was worried about that, but I'm still enjoying it. And there's a lot to do. The world looks a little bit samey because it's all kind of deserts.
Are you actually playing Mad Max?
You do play Mad Max. He just looks different from the latest movie version, but you do still play Mad Max. Mad Rock Steady Max, or whatever his name is. Rockatansky, I think, or something like that. But you play the same one.
As opposed to my version of the game, Mellow Nick.
Mellow Nick. But yeah, you still play Mad Max, and it, you know,
slightly pissed scans,
slightly.
And you get a little assistant who helps fix your car and helps you with missions called Scrotus. You know, this is quite nice. He's a good little fella. Not Scrotus. Scrotus is one of the bad guys. Scumbucket is the name of your companion.
Scumbucket.
You also get a dog for a lot of missions.
Whenever you go back to see Scumbucket, does he go?
Scumbucket's always with you.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, he's always in the back of the car.
So it's like you've got RAC in it?
Kind of, yeah. He's the one that fires some of the stuff for you, and, you know, he's always with you so we can fix the car, and, you know, he's always there with you, yeah.
He's definitely RAC.
Could be, yeah.
There's a dramatic moment. Where he leaves because you've not paid your membership fee.
There is one bit where he realises before the war you were part of the AA, and that
oh, of course.
Away, but other than that, there's nothing else. There's no actual RAC affiliation.
Oh, that's right then.
Yeah. But yeah, I'd highly recommend that. A good 8 out of 10 if I had to score it.
Well, there you go. But we don't do scoring, so it's fine.
No, but I'm just saying,
if you did, it'd be 8 out of 10.
Yeah, it's worth the play.
Yeah. Yeah, for the price you'd pay nowadays for it, especially, yeah. Yeah.
Cool, right. Well, moving on to...
Oh, actually, can I just throw out there?
Yes.
Extra point to Hacknet as well, because that has a Linux port.
There you go.
I think.
Is that Linux?
Yeah, they both have. Yeah, Mad Max and Hacknet have Linux ports. Play them!
Nice.
Or just download Kali Linux and you got Hacknet, basically.
Yeah, exactly. Why play the game when you can do the real thing? Just
don't get caught.
Yeah. Or just hack for real on a Linux
delete your log files. Get a VPN.
Oh,
use the tool browser.
Use a VPN. The guys who will rat you out the moment that the feds knock on the door.
Depends on your VPN.
Oh, they will, regardless. We don't keep logs. And then the FBI turns up. Is it the FBI or the NSA? That's the NSA, isn't it?
You said there was a VPN that got took to court to reveal logs, and they both said, no, we didn't have any. And when they arrested, they didn't have any, and nothing happened. The case got dropped because they didn't have any logs to give them.
It's very rare these days that they don't keep logs, and there have been a few cases where companies will say, we don't keep logs, and then as soon as the Rozzers knock on the door, take them, and just like hand people over. So be very, 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 very careful what you do on the internet.
Oh, yes.
Or just do it all publicly and wait for the feds.
VPN and Tor, you're fine.
Just Tor everything. Tor everything.
Yeah.
VPN everything. Trouble is though, like we said before, though, if you know, the more you use Tor and VPNs, the more you're painting a target on your back because you kind of know how to protect yourself.
Yeah, it's catch 22, really.
Yeah, look, there's the sea of noise, and then there's this clear.
Fortunately, this
is going to sound really.
Fortunately,
weird.
Though, we still live in a country where it's beyond all reasonable doubt, so you'd be all right.
Yeah,
it's very clear. It makes very little sense what I'm about to say, but you've got all this noise, and then you've got this clear string of encrypted traffic. They're like. That sticks out like a sore thumb. That's like a rainbow over Nazi Germany. I think there's something dodgy going on there, folks. I'm just saying, you know, when you use Tor and encryption in this country, average Joe public's like, Facebook! And then they're like, hang on a minute, there's encrypted traffic coming out from over there. Must be up to no good.
Be them Russians, wouldn't it?
Yeah, goddamn them crazy Russians. They must be working with the Russians. The traffic's encrypted.
Yeah, Ruskies.
Feds knock on the door. They'll definitely knock on Nick's door.
Oh, yeah.
You see him? He's definitely a hacker. He's already been talking on this podcast about hacking.
Yeah, it's only a matter of time. They'll get you next. They'll rat right on you.
Oh, yeah,
just to get
definitely.
God damn.
Definitely.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't go to prison.
First 5 minutes.
I haven't done anything wrong yet.
You haven't. But when I talked to him,
you've said whatever.
Oh, yeah.
But well, it turns out that you were the second gunman on the grassy knoll. Fuck, Nick, you told him that.
I couldn't keep quietly old man. I've hidden your secret for so many years. I wasn't born, but I've still hidden it.
I was the second, third, and fourth as well. I was also the iceberg that sank the Titanic, but no one seems to care about that one.
I shot the deputy as well as the sheriff.
But I didn't shoot the horse.
No, he got away from me.
God damn.
I'm still
anyway,
yeah.
Talking about vigilante justice.
Yeah.
On to TV review.
Yeah, I've been watching The Punisher, which is Netflix's latest collaboration with Marvel. Now, anyone who's seen... In terms of TV land, Punisher was introduced in Daredevil Season 2. As more of a... It kind of started out just killing everybody.
Sorry, you just explained something. When I saw it come on, I thought to myself, show the Punisher was already a TV series. And now I remember he was in Daredevil.
Yeah, Daredevil Season 2. He was almost... He was kind of like a villain in that, but not... Not completely, not like a black and white villain, but he was sort of the bad guy.
He's vigilante, wasn't he?
Yeah, he's kind of Daredevil. if Daredevil didn't have rules about not killing anyone, he just takes Daredevil and like the extreme version of him, really, because his entire family was wiped out when he, you know, that's kind of an early thing. It's not really a big spoiler.
No. If you don't know that about the Punisher,
yeah,
what are you doing watching the Punisher?
Yeah, and he's introduced to Daredevil. Some way throughout that, he becomes their client in the court case, and he goes to prison and sort of escapes. And where Devil leaves off, Punisher kind of takes over from that. But it's a few months afterwards because they had the Defenders where all of them were in it, and it kind of comes in directly after the Defenders. And Punisher himself started in issue 100 and something of Spider-Man, so he's connected to the Spider-Man character in the comics. Yeah. And with Marvel, Netflix, their sort of collaboration shows, they each have a part of New York City. So Daredevil had Hell's Kitchen, Luke Cage was Harlem, because he was sort of the black character and everything.
A few stereotypes. Ones.
Yeah, but that was part of the identity of that show. And then... with Punisher, it's Queens, which is the same part as Spider-Man. I don't think they'll let, you know, they might cross paths at some point, but obviously, you know, that's unlikely movie, TV sort of versions. But it is the same universe. So it's all part of that MCU. It's all part of the movie, movie lore. And it's not for the faint of heart, this show, because later on it gets, especially in later on episodes, it's very violent. Like, really,
it's kid friendly.
Yeah, no.
Isn't that the Punisher's whole thing, isn't it?
Yeah, if you shied away from that, it wouldn't be right. So they haven't hid away from making it violent. It is, you know, it does go full on violence. I don't know if you or anyone out there has seen The Walking Dead, but the guy in that who played Rick's really annoying friend,
I haven't watched John, Walking Dead, he's on my list. But
yeah, John Bethfernow, something like that. He plays the Punisher, but he's brilliant in this. And 13 episodes, so it's not like a massive investment. They're about just shy of an hour each, you know, about 55-57
minutes.
Typical
Netflix length.
Yeah, that kind of thing. As that sort of as it starts out, they sort of introduce characters. There's the Homeland Security guys who are after him and what really happened. You find out from various things why his family were murdered in this one properly. And then you kind of have good guys who turn out not to be so good. You have real good guys. You have bad guys who kind of turn their way a little bit, you know. But as there isn't an awful lot of him being full-on Punisher with the whole get-up and everything. But the action in it is really, really, really high quality. There's really good, well-choreographed fights. Not just massive, like, brawls and stupid, you know, over the top. The action, there's car chases, gunfights, proper fist fights at, you know, rooftop chases, bombs going off. It's really, really well produced. Yeah. You know, you can tell where the money's gone, as you can with most Netflix things, really.
See, I was going to watch Punisher, but my internet went down. But Punisher is one of the few... I'm not really into superheroes, never have. No. Punisher's PlayStation is one that I've read about and I've just been interested in enough to actually think, well, I'll probably watch that.
Yeah, I really, really enjoyed it massively.
It's mainly because he's just a normal guy.
Yeah, yeah,
and B, he doesn't fuck around. You know, he really doesn't. There's lovely Batman shit. Well, I just knock them out. Just don't fuck around.
Yeah,
just kill them.
His philosophy is: if I kill them, they can't come back. They can't get out of prison. They can't do it ever again. They're done. And
there was there's a crossover comic book where he goes after all the other superheroes and he absolutely trounces them because they're just not used to fighting someone like him.
Yeah,
you know, he doesn't hang around. He doesn't know, certain, like sort of a elaborate death trap. Just shoots them.
Yeah, but his rule in this is he does kill plenty of people, but only the ones that have it coming, you know.
Yeah.
He doesn't. He still saves and protects the good guys in it as well. Yeah. He is kind of a good guy. It's just, you know.
Trust me, he's a vigilante. He's
yeah, but he just kills lots of bad people.
He's doing good, but not the best way to do good.
Yeah. In this one, he has sort of early on, he meets like a hacker, and the two of them kind of team up because
is it called Bit?
No, it's called Micro. It's called within the as the real name, obviously. This guy has a family still as well that he's kind of monitoring, and they're really good. The chemistry between the two of them, you know, him, you know, the two guys. They have a really good rapport, and he uses the Punisher because he's great with computers, can find anyone and do all that kind of stuff, but he can't really fight for shit or anything like that, so he uses him as a pointy end of the stick.
Why am I thinking of Person of Interest?
There are similarities to that, but it's a completely very different show.
To be fair, this day and age, any TV series that involves a vigilante has to have someone like a hacker to back him up, because you simply couldn't do it these days. Someone delete the phone records and alter the security cameras, and you've got to hope that everything's got to come to the internet.
Yeah. There are similarities to Person of Interest, but obviously this is based on certain graphic novels and comics that came out way before Person of Interest, including the character Micro teaming up with him. Way more violent than Persons of Interest, but yeah. I've really thoroughly enjoyed it. There's some really interesting female characters in it, which is always good, because you need that dynamic. The villain, who turns out to be the overall villain, is really, really good as well. There's a great character in it who's brilliant all the way through, who was in Westworld. He plays, you have William when he's young.
Yes.
Yeah, his mate, his friend.
Logan.
Yeah, Logan, that's one. He's Luke's really good
character.
I shot him.
He's a great character in this. He's really, really good. Again, really, guy in a suit all
what
handsome.
What would have been awesome is that his entrance into the series would have been him riding in on horseback naked.
I don't think they're part of the same universe. And I think Punisher's probably set a few years before Westworld, I think.
Yeah, it's just over there on the horizon.
Yeah. So, you've got the crossover with Daredevil.
Yeah.
Is there much, because obviously you said it also in the same part of New York. Is there much more sharing of characters and plots, or just that was it, that story, or they kept very separate?
The female journalist Karen from Daredevil appears in this. Due to events that happened in Defenders, Daredevil isn't in it. Can't be in it. But that's not really a spoiler.
Be in it?
No, not currently.
Daredevil dead confirmed.
Not currently. but
Daredevil maimed confirmed.
Yeah. That's the first time that the nurse character hasn't been in it. This is the first time she's not there.
She's looking after Daredevil.
Yeah, she's been in all the rest, but she's not in this one. Like I say, 13 episodes, around about, almost an hour each. Very, very violent, so if you don't like violent things, avoid this. But
I do love violent things.
Yeah, plenty of...
I don't know why you could watch anything like that. I don't know.
And the action won't let you down, the drama. All I can say is I really thoroughly enjoyed it, but I don't want to say too much, obviously, because I don't want to give any spoilers away.
It's called The Punisher, he kills people.
Yeah, but only those that have it coming. If he's at your door, there's a reason he's there.
I'm sorry, I saw the carton of milk. I'm sorry.
You forgot to give me my change.
I'm going to go to the door. The Punisher's staying there. Oh, God, oh, shit. Postman left his parcel at my door. Oh, okay, thanks.
Definitely watch the first season of Daredevil anyway, because it's brilliant, and watch the second season as well, because that's also brilliant, but also, you get the full Punisher experience. You get to see more of where he comes from. Although his origin...
is the Daredevil set before...
Yeah, this is set after the events of the Defenders as well. Right. Shortly after that, so it's set a fair while after.
But is it still? Events. Could you watch that Punisher while watching Daredevil? Do you really see Daredevil to watch Punisher?
You might get more out of it if you want.
Yeah, you still get kind of his origin story and where he came from and things like that. But the Daredevil stuff would probably flesh out a little bit more, and there's references to things. But most of the characters. A brand new.
Well, it's not a prerequisite to what I've watched it.
Yeah, I wouldn't say you'd have to, but I would definitely recommend it.
Yeah.
And Daredevil's so good anyway, it's worth watching just for the quality of the show. Cool. Yeah, it's really, really excellent show. I loved it.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So just a couple bits of news, unless you've got any other TV stuff to talk about.
It's all good about that, really.
A couple bits of news. I just want to do a little bit of fun, because last podcast we talked about... Battlefront 2 and EA and loot boxes briefly.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, since we went off air, not that I'm going to get to say this, the shit hit the fan properly.
Yeah.
I mean, absolutely properly. So, just a brief history went on. People started complaining to EA, actually proper gay up in arms about it, VA.
This is before the game had actually been properly released, hadn't it?
Yeah, oh yeah, so 2 weeks ago. I was watching this unfold while I was on holiday.
Yeah,
I was watching it all unfold.
A few videos.
it got to the point where EA basically, word got out and people started actually saying, you know, this is a bad thing. Word started to filter down from not just gamers, but actually, shall we say, non-gamers, as people were starting to get out.
It's on like ABC News and stuff like that in America.
And EA basically, all of a sudden, started doing damage control.
Yeah.
So, first thing they did was they said, oh, we'll reduce the cost of all these things by 75%.
Yeah.
Oh, actually, you know, first of all, they put out a statement that was on Reddit about how they're going, how it was basically, they thought it did play a sense of accomplishment, they had to work hard towards this. And it became the most downvoted comment on Reddit.
Yeah.
I think last time I checked, it was at minus 643,000 downvotes.
Yeah.
Which is incredible.
No, I had a high.
It's probably gone down more than since then. That was the lowest. That's why I last checked. I'm sure it's gone a lot lower since then. It's probably over a million by now. It wouldn't surprise me. I think the next previous comment, also by EA, was like minus 23,000. So they did that. Then they agreed. Amazingly, they agreed to do an Ask Me Anything on Reddit.
Silly.
Well, but did you actually look at it? I don't know if you.
No,
I looked at it. I went and looked at it, and just it's what I expected. Mm. They were very picky about what questions they asked, and anyone actually asked a on the nose question about the whole situation, nothing. Mm. Not a sausage. Completely ignored. Although it's hard to find their answers, because as soon as they answer, the people just downvote and they disappear, because my sorting algorithm works. If you downvote the answer, even if you're the person who's doing the Ask Me, you get knocked off and disappear.
That must have been soul crushing.
Yeah.
For the suit in charge of that one.
Well, there's a group of them. It was someone from DICE, it was someone from the marketing department, and there's like three of them. But you knew when they were going into that, they're basically. Ask. They can't afford it's going to have a good outcome.
No.
They can't afford going into that. When we leave, we're going to go, do you know what? They're right about loot boxes. Actually, I don't mind playing 60 hours on Lord Vader. That ain't going to happen, is it? So that was the thing. What people complain about, still complain about the fact that their state, they then reduced the cost of loot boxes by 75%. But reading of the word of the language they use implies that they reserve the right to put it back up again.
Yeah.
Which makes you imply that the idea is, oh, we'll reduce it down, people buy the game, and then we'll shove it back up again.
Mm.
And a lot of people and basically, the word has got out, people are boycotting the game. There's loads of pictures of mostly game shelves where shelves are empty after like sort of Black Friday weekend, but Battlefront 2 is just sat there, hunt dozens of copies, and there's someone in a picture of a Walmart store, and they're packs of PlayStation 4s. All empty except for the one with Battlefront on it.
Yeah.
It's the word's
got out.
Victory
for gamers, finally. They kind of did it. Not quite there yet. No.
Yeah, haven't. Until EA say, right, that's it, we're scrapping it completely. No pay for crystals. No, it's gone completely. You just simply unlock the. That's the thing. If there was no way to pay for those crystals, you just had to earn the characters through normal unlock progression. I definitely must be able to complain, because lots of games have done that. You know, Lego games, Lego Star Wars, you have to work to unlock those characters, but you can't pay for them.
No.
If they hadn't done that, they would have gone away with it, I think.
It's still broken the progression system anyway, isn't it? Yeah. Even without loot boxes, the way it's done, but
So, if they got rid of that completely, that's the only way I think they would have saved it. But I think, the people are now working on Steam to try and get the people to buy copies of the old Battlefront 2 on Steam, to try and push it to the top of the charts. So, Battlefront 2 will be at the top of the chart, but be the old one. And Steam have renamed it to Classic Edition. On Steam, they've managed to get its scores now to very, very extremely positive on Steam. It's nice and geeky. I haven't played it.
I never played any.
But games have actually got together, got where but it's not a victory yet.
But
we're pushing back. But we've not won yet. I've not really got a dog in this fight, to be fair, because I don't like Star Wars. No. But I'm watching the sidelines going, go for it.
But publishers are going to be very wary about releasing their games with loot boxes in them.
Yeah.
They don't want to be the next guy to get that kind of grief.
I think he's going to lose the license. Because Disney are not happy.
Disney are not pleased at all.
Yeah.
Because people start complaining to Disney about the whole situation.
Once it hit major news outlets...
Yeah,
major news outlets.
Disney's very
Disney were like, "Oh my god, the normies know about it."
They're very protective of their image. Properties and their image. And Star Wars is
they bloody well have to. They're supposed to be super family friendly.
So
obviously, this is not family friendly.
No, gambling for kids isn't.
Yeah,
you know,
there was someone put those like memes going out there of like picture of like two hookers and a quick of cocaine costs less than buying all the DLC in Battlefront 2.
I think it's like you could spend like $1,000.
$950, I think you could spend in total.
And it's completely random, and it's just assigned to kids the game, and some kids would do that without even realising they're spending real money. They don't make it obvious or clear what's happening. You know?
Belgium Gaming Commission has now come and said loot boxes are a form of gambling.
Yeah.
FYI. Some new, we haven't. No, the UK one said, no, we don't consider it that. US, some new senators are now actually coming out saying we think this is gambling.
Yeah.
It's actually, for once, we've been game getting shat on, and usually we tend to sort of get shat on, whinge about it, but take it up the arse anyway.
Yeah,
now,
the game anyway.
It's actually game regime, we're actually saying no.
Yeah.
Whether we'll change EA business practices, I doubt it. EA, basically, I think what will happen is, EA will reduce it all, do what they do, they'll write a storm, and then the film will say they'll just gradually slip it back up anyway.
Yeah, but no one will be playing it by then, so
the problem is, and you know this is going to happen, we are not buying it now. But I can guarantee you, as soon as EA sprinkles some sugar on that shit, people will start lapping it up.
Yeah.
Look, they've taken all the bad stuff away. buy, and EA are like, yes, got that money.
In really early days, it started out quite well because they said all the DLC will be free and everything, all the expansion packs will be free. So it actually started out quite nicely.
That's a very un-EA thing to do.
Yeah, that's very generous.
Wow, that's amazing.
Oh no, that PA member got fired pretty quickly.
Yeah.
What the hell were you saying? Well, I weren't feeling all that well that day, and
I got the wrong member. Well, I meant to say, and good news, everybody, we're going to charge you twice as much for the DLC.
That was the April Fool's letter, but I read it on the wrong day.
Now, if you look under your seats, you'll find a massive, massive dildo. Please all bend over and take and deal and with a EA logo written on it.
Mm. Yeah, that really went crazy, didn't it? All the hate in the store.
Apparently, they shut down the stores, didn't they, on the open betas for Xbox and...
It appeared on sales on the EA stores, digital version appeared on sales on the EA stores before it was even released.
They gave the journalists that were like sort of previewing the eventual review of the game a different kind of version of the game as well, didn't they? Where they could unlock those characters way easier. Like a quarter of the amount of credits needed or less than
My cynical version of me thinks they're playing an early version when you could. And then someone at EA thought, microtransactions, they work in mobile games. Why don't we shove loads more into this game?
And I think EA also made it worse than it would have been and then reduced it and said, oh, look how good we are. You know, they probably wanted to get what they originally wanted anyway. We're making it seem much worse to begin with.
Yeah. Now, here's the next one. Do you think the action would be a lot different if Battlefront 2 had been free, but you just paid for the characters?
Probably.
I think the action would have been a lot different.
Yeah, I think it would have done. But
if you're going to put in microtransactions to that degree, your game had better be free.
Yes.
Yeah, you can't buy like £50 and then still expect to do all that with it. You know, that's not. That's just bad. But
I wouldn't personally buy it because it's a shitty business practice.
Yeah,
I'm one of the handful of gamers who will say, not to big myself up here, but if I don't like your business practices, I don't buy your product.
Yeah, I was planning on buying the game until I read all that shit. Even getting back on PS Plus for that game, but after that...
The fact of the matter is, whilst EA controls the game, you can never trust the buyer, because at any point, they can just reimplement the system.
Yeah.
If you buy a digital copy, well, in fact, buy any copy, you ain't going to get a refund on it.
No. The reviews for it, even the reviews that have kind of avoided that, are really... quite negative about the game anyway.
Well, Metacritic got meta-bombed, didn't they? People were just putting into reviews. To be honest, I think people started complaining because Metacritic started deleting the reviews and people started complaining. Then at some point, but I used to first point out, and I agree with that, well, Metacritic just saying, well, the game's not released yet. You're not reviewing a game, you're just putting it down because you don't like the company. That's not a review. That's just not reviewing the game. So I sure agree with Metacritic on that one. People just kept voting.
Same thing happens with our Uwe Boll films, the guy who did all the dodgy game films. Like, people would just instantly one star his films even before they'd come out. Have you seen it? Well, they're like, oh, look, House of the Dead. Awful film. Have you seen it? No. Shit, though.
I've seen that film. It's amazing.
Have you... Postal. Have you seen it? No. One star. Shit.
which Postal's actually quite funny, and House of the Dead, my God, that was filmed in such a dangerous way, but for that alone, I was like, instant win.
My favourite bit is Tara Reid dies in that film, and for like a split second, you see her get up before the film cuts to the next bit.
You can't hate those films. They are so cheese. It's just ace.
Yeah, and it's not like that nasty stuff like Sharknado, which is intentionally made to be bad. Ubold tries his best to make it good.
Well, the trouble is, though, because it's not even his fault, because in Postal, for example, it was his script.
Yeah.
He's getting the stuff that he's working on, he's literally getting handed crap. Yeah. Because they know that he can get financing from the German government.
Mm.
And, you know, even, like, we could write the world's crappiest film, take it to him, and he can get finance for it.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Then he'd fight us for it.
Yeah, I'd fight him.
Yeah.
I'd fucking gladly fight him.
I want all three of us together, might be able to take him.
No, I'll do it.
I think just so. I'll just, yeah. I think you take up on Red Bull and Iron Broom, and said you're right in there.
You say that, but I'm a hockey fighter.
Oh, so you, yeah.
Yeah, I can fight.
You can fight, yeah.
Oh, I'm not built very big, but it hit like a tank.
Oh, alright then.
And the nerve damage kind of helps too, so.
Yeah. You're kind of a bit like Kick-Ass then.
Mm.
You know.
Awesome.
Punch like a tank, yeah.
Well, moving on to our next bit of news.
So is that the challenge then?
What?
So we get to fight all over the ball?
Yeah.
So we can get our film made.
Yeah. If we
raise the film.
If we raise a certain amount of money on a 24-hour one, we'll send you over to Germany to fight him.
In fairness, I'm one of the few fans of his fucking films. That'd be an interesting fight.
Yeah. We'll film the whole thing, wouldn't we? Be good.
Anyway, moving on to our next bit of news. Yep. The big thing going on in America. Now, so you're screwed if you're an American game at the moment, because you've got AEA to fight about. You've always got to fight about net neutrality.
Oh. So, all I know and understand about this is that might affect my porn viewing.
Yes, it will.
Quite badly, so yeah. I'm quite worried
about
it.
You'll be stiff by it, that's for certain.
Yeah. I get really screwed.
So, the basic concept is, for those of who are not in the know, not heard about it,
This has been going on for years, though.
It has been on for years. Well, some people might not.
It's getting worse now.
It's mainly an American thing that's affected. Although there's been some words over here, it's still mainly an American thing. The general idea is, at the moment, all traffic on the internet is treated equally, whether it's from Netflix, from your favorite porn site, or from, you know, a text-based site, a blogging about turnips. I don't know. Uh-huh. It's all... Yeah, turnip.com. It's all
pretty the same.
Data is data.
It doesn't matter what it is, you get the same priority. Anyone's going to know, you pay for either how much data you're allowed to use, how fast you have it, combination of two, or maybe have unlimited packages.
You basically get the data as fast as the server can push it, and the ISP can suck it down the pipe.
Exactly. Hmm. The argument between net neutrality is that's called net neutrality. The net is neutral, treats everything neutral. The idea of removing that is certain data types will basically have either a shitter service supplied to them, or you'll be charged a premium for using that data.
For example, Comcast is an American cable company, isn't it? Yes. Mm. Right, so they sell television packages and the internet. So on their lines, they can say, as you were saying, Netflix, that's going to come through a damn sight slower than a service that they have stakes in.
Yeah. And the thing to remember about Americans' ISP system is, whereas in the UK, America was like us, in that one company basically dominated the phone network, and here was BT. In the UK, we stepped in and said, right, anyone can use BT lines, BT still have to maintain it, and the whole system, they get a line rental fee to maintain it from the ISPs. Anyone, I could set up an ISP tomorrow and start being an ISP, okay? Mm. In America, basically, parts of the network got bought off. So, in certain parts of America, all you can have is Comcast. You're stuck with them. No one else will supply your net to your area. So, if you're, as you say, in a situation, you're screwed. You have no one else to go to. It's a monopoly.
Yeah. Mm.
And our parts of the country are the same. You know, so I think there's Comcast.
AT&T. I don't think AT&T do.
I thought they did internet still.
They do internet. I don't think they do. They don't have any stake in TV, I don't think.
No, but they can still have. They're still involved in this as well. So the idea of, like, sort of deciding that some... So how it would ever be felt, I'm not sure whether you'll get, like, some premium gigabytes a month, whether you just have to pay extra automatically, whether they'll just put the charge into the suppliers, like Netflix, in which case they also still have to put their price up to pay for it.
Mm-hmm. So yeah. One way it had gone in the past, from what I understand, is that Netflix was having trouble... Like, people were having trouble accessing Netflix on... whatever American OSP it was, they were constantly getting buffering issues, and there's no reason for it. And then it turns out, after a bit of investigation, that this ISP was throttling them.
Yeah.
And to stop them from throttling them, Netflix had to pay hard cash to get the pipe opened up so that everyone could view to view that service, because the ISP was losing money on their competing cable services.
Yeah.
Because people were cutting cable and going to Netflix, then Netflix's price go up. If we were to start a competing video company to Netflix, which would obviously instantly sink because Netflix is so popular, we would have to be willing to pony up that cash to get the same pipe as Netflix. Otherwise, we could be throttled into oblivion. And
I mean, it's not just that, obviously. They, in some cases, they're throttling it called more. Also, like that, it's simply the amount of bandwidth it takes up.
Mm.
Because obviously, Netflix is going to use more bandwidth than, you know, just going on reading a blog.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to need more bandwidth. It's, it simply is.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the other reason, is that he just felt that it was taking too much. But the whole point is it's always been... The internet's not... These people don't own the internet. The internet's owned by the government.
Mm.
You know, they basically rent it. They don't own it, but they're basically fighting to say, we can just charge you whatever the hell we like.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a big vote going on in America next month. Now, I know it doesn't directly affect us. I mean, I say, if you're a gamer in America, you're screwed. Because you've got the fight, but this week you've got to fight both EA and net neutrality at fighting at the moment. But next one, the FCC, which is the Federal Communications Commission.
Someone's that thing.
Yeah. They basically, they're going to vote.
They're the ones who censor everything and all that kind of
stuff. They're going to vote basically whether it should be removed. Now, the reason that I've removed it up is that if America does it, you can damn well get that it's going to start pushing happening in the UK for it.
Yeah.
People like the big boys will start pushing. Now, we've gone far because there's more competition, and it'll become a selling point, I think. Some kind of say we don't prioritise traffic and so forth.
Yeah.
But you can see it kind of thing, because wasn't it a few years ago, before Netflix really sort of took off, that BBC iPlayer accounted for something like 40% of internet traffic? At one point, 30 or 40%, before Netflix took off.
No idea.
But I remember hearing that iPlayer was kind of like 34% of internet traffic.
Jeez. I do remember reading something like that, like thinking it was an insane number, you know.
Well, it's because of my data pushes
a lot of bandwidth.
Yeah.
I mean, videos
and years. HD video and all that kind of stuff.
In America, they also have the issue that ISPs are dirty, underhanded bastards, if we haven't already established that.
Look what you're about.
Well, the other issue is, so like, let's say, for example, you've got a... Because they have horrible, horrible data caps over in the States. Like, oh, you can use 100 gigs in a month. I can use 100 gigs in less than a day, goddammit. Yeah. I use, on average, something like 700 gigabytes a month in data. I use a lot of data. I would be bankrupt if I was in the States.
Yeah.
Now, the trick is... So let's say I want to watch some old some Netflix. Let's say, example, Comcast. It might not have been Comcast. Let's say they have a cable box, and I want to watch Netflix. If I start watching Netflix, they will start ticking down my bandwidth counter.
Yeah.
Right. But then they'll say, "Well, you're running out of bandwidth. You're running out of your data allowance is running low." However, if you use our IPTV service. Don't count.
Yeah.
Doesn't count. Mm. I was like, but it's still coming over the same pipes. It's still the same protocols. You've just decided that you're not going to count it to try and get me to use it.
Yeah.
Well, quite insidious,
it's the exact same shite.
Mm.
I was like, well, it doesn't count because it's over our network. I was like, well, it's all your network, you bloody idiots. Of course it is.
Yeah. America is screwed for internet because... I was reading that in most major cities in America, the average connection speed is lower than even us.
Mm-hmm.
I think the average connection speed was something like 20 megs over the course of the cities, whereas
round here, I would imagine the average is probably like the 40s or the 50s.
Yeah, it's probably the size of the country now, getting all upgraded and...
Yeah, but in a major city?
No, but they should have been doing this from... Oh, what, yeah. What's that?
Don't forget, were ahead of us. The 1970s they developed ARPANET.
Was it the 96 Telecommunications Act, where they were supposed to be, you know, rolling out new shit and keeping everything up to date, and they just said, well, that costs money. Even though there's something there telling them they have to do it. They've been ignoring it for years and years and years.
Well, because they've got a captive market, because there is very little choice.
Yeah.
People have to go through them for all those people. They can afford to give you shitty service.
And they fight amongst each other all the goddamn time.
Yeah.
What do you mean you want to come and move into our turf? We ain't moving our equipment off of these other lines.
You set your own network up.
Yeah. Mm. They're like, yeah, but it's like... But you can't cross here because that's got our stuff here. And we're not going to move it or allow you to do any work here because you won't disrupt our service. So, no, what you're saying is you don't want to have any competition. No. So you are stonewalling every attempt to get competition in. Or you're gonna get your little lobbyists to come in and destroy the competition right off the bat.
Isn't Comcast some kind of Disney? Aren't they owned by Disney or...
I don't know.
I think Disney own one of the major, you know, providers of sort of satellite and cable television.
Right, Disney's the devil anyway.
Yeah. I know they have a lot of channels, so...
They are devil, very good PR. Yeah.
They're the devil with very good lawyers. Hey, we're going to pull all of our stuff off Netflix, and then we're going to make our own version of Netflix, so you have to pay a subscription to watch Disney movies. It's like, why don't you lot sod off?
Something Disney did that no one would have wanted, you know, just to have all on, you know, I don't know if that affects us, because that Disney channel, that Disney provider isn't coming here yet, is it?
No.
There's still a few Disney things on Netflix.
Why?
I know.
It's like, well, because we're not getting our piece of the pie. Tough.
It's like Star Trek Discovery, that's on Hulu. Not Hulu, that's on ABC's own, or NBC, or whichever.
One of their random networks.
Yeah, they've got their own sort of streaming service. You have to pay for that for that.
They do it to try and stop...
It'd be no great loss if it disappeared, to be fair.
No, I think it's great. It's got a second season on the way, so it's sticking around. Let's not get into that, though.
They do this to try and stop cable cuts, because cable television is still... It's big business. You know, this is like copper in the UK. You know, it's still a big thing, even though it probably shouldn't be.
Yeah.
And they are like, they're just dinosaurs clawing at everything they can to try and stay alive that little bit longer.
And for anyone who saw any young dinosaurs climbing out of this tarp, they're grabbing them, putting them back down with them. That's it.
They can't. Yeah. They cannot have anything new come along, and anything that may threaten them, they will crush it.
Yeah.
All old white men.
Yeah. Mm. I just think the trouble is, with the current American administration, I can't see it not getting passed.
Yeah. Well, a Jeep Pie's a whipping boy, and he wasn't he a lawyer for one of these ISPs at one point? So they're screwed.
Yeah. Trump couldn't care less about that kind of thing.
Well, he doesn't understand it.
He can afford it, so it doesn't matter for him.
Yeah.
What do you mean other people can't pay $1 million a month for their internet connection? Well, they should get work harder.
They did a study on that. If he had taken the money left by his father and just left it, he'd actually be wealthier now than he actually is.
Yeah, because he's not basically a businessman.
No, he created a casino and that went bankrupt. Who does that with a casino?
He's created lots of things that have gone bankrupt.
Yeah. Including America now.
Yeah.
Well, that was on borrowed time.
I'm waiting for him to rename America Trump.
Yeah. Trumpville.
Yeah. Trumptopia.
Trumptopia.
Mad Lord Trump.
Next door to Nicktopia.
Yeah. We don't talk about the first one. Wait, there's only one.
Oh. It was a bit like The Matrix. Everyone went horribly wrong the first time, and then it just had to keep reinventing it until they got
Colonel Sanders got involved and sorted The Matrix all out.
Yeah.
They missed the trick, though. They should have made him look like either Bill Gates or Steve Jobs.
Oh, that guy, yeah. That was a bit of a mess, that whole sequel situation there.
Yeah.
I'd be more sympathetic if the guy looked like Woz.
Yeah.
How can anyone get angry at Woz?
Yeah, he's quite cuddly, isn't he?
Yeah, bless our Woz.
Yeah.
He rocks in his Segway. You're like, Woz.
The whole Matrix is more on Apple Lisa.
Woo. Matrix works now, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Apple Lisa did work.
Yeah.
It's bloody expensive.
It is now.
Mind you, Matrix must have cost a few bob. It's the whole thing of using people for power that doesn't really work with that film. Because
that wasn't the original intention. Do you know what the original idea was meant to be?
Potatoes.
No.
I'm pretty sure it was potatoes.
No, it was not. Are you saying that we're vegetables?
I would argue with you about that, but I'll let you go.
The original idea was that the people in Matrix were meant to be used as like living CPUs for processing power, which makes a lot more sense.
I think it was potatoes.
But the network executives of the film thought that'd be too complicated for audiences to understand, so they made them turn into
all Matrix. The normies are sat there. What's a CPU?
I'm pretty sure it was potatoes, and
no, I'm pretty sure
the second one was about the Irish revolting about their potatoes being taken.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure. I'm right about that, but I'll admit I could be wrong.
How many potatoes did it take to kill an Irishman? None.
That's good. I like that. Bit of tropical news there.
Yeah. Too soon? Yeah. Sorry? Yeah. Sorry, yeah. Irish listeners.
Didn't want to just eat chips and stuff like that instead of potatoes.
I'm not saying that our chat is incredibly quiet.
Be honest, there's been one watcher all evening.
Oh, man.
That's us.
That's me on my phone.
Sucking up his bandwidth. I hope you're charging for that bandwidth.
Yeah, god damn
it. I got no service when I don't answer you. So you're right.
It's fine.
Basically, what we're saying is the internet is screwed.
Yeah,
in America at least.
And us in time.
I wouldn't say it's.
We've got advantages over here because there's more competition. There's actually
my line isn't that much better over here. We are still being monitored like crazy.
Yeah, we're still way behind, like. The best country, I think, on the planet for internet awesomeness is probably North Korea, as it is now. But
there isn't any.
Yeah.
That's probably why. That's why it's so good.
Yeah.
Now, do you know there's more internet sites in Grand Theft Auto 5 than there are in North Korea? There's 80 in Grand Theft Auto 5. There's 50 in North Korea.
I was going to say in America. Damn, are they really tied that one down? Yeah,
Comcast.com.
Yeah. Even if you're watching Mr. Ill. Or is it Yun now? I can't remember. I can never keep it. Is it Ill or Yun?
Big Kim is always watching.
Yeah.
Big Kim's chilling there with his massive pipe for the internet. He just can't
remember. Well, where is he? Why is he not supporting us tonight?
He's the one. He's blocked. Our service has been blocked from America. We can only be served up in North Korea. We are on the fucking. Kimbotron?
I wouldn't use the phrase being served up in North Korea because given what some of the things have happened over there, it's probably not a good phrase to use. Yeah,
you did one live from North Korea once, didn't you?
Well, we did, yeah, episode 50.
Way before my days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a good trip, that was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kim was an alright guy.
Okay,
he was always smiling.
You looked a little bit shaken when you returned.
Well, that's what
weren't the same people you were when you left.
That's what the prison camps do to you, I'm afraid.
Yeah.
That was a 5-star.
Bard got eaten by dogs.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Poor guy.
He's died many times. Somehow he keeps coming back.
I've suffered from a few terrible illnesses since I started doing this podcast when I haven't been
here. That's why he disappears for several weeks at a time. He's having to recover.
He's fighting off a plague. He'll leave here and he'll be like vomiting blood as he leaves the door.
Yeah.
And the attack dogs will get him. Speaking of, where is the attack dog?
I don't know, it's not here.
So I've noticed he's left the door unguarded.
Yeah.
Well, we're here, aren't we? So you trust us.
Crazy dog. I wouldn't trust me with that door. No, I live here.
That's what your keys are in it, no one getting. That's how locks work, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. You don't even have to turn it as long as the key's in there. It's fine.
Cool.
There
are ways around that. Awesome. Right, I think it's time to end.
Yes.
We've put the world to rights.
Yep.
So, thank you very much, Roger. I've been the Suffolk Ram.
I've been Minimeister.
And we will see you in a fortnight for our penultimate pre-Christmas episode.
Pre-Christmas
episode. And then 2 weeks later, you'll see our Christmas episode, where we'll all be still wearing the same clothes, strangely.
Actually, hang on, what shirt am I wearing? Accidental broadcast. I'm going to make sure I'm wearing this shirt for the next podcast.
I'll make sure I'm wearing this one.
So we'll be wearing three podcasts in a run.
Yeah, and we may seem more tired in the Christmas podcast, but it's purely coincidence.
Yeah.
And you won't be able to comment on the Christmas podcast, not anyone does anyway, but you won't be able to comment on Christmas podcast
Buckle's reasons.
Laughing, giggling, secret. And dribbling.
Yeah. They were, yeah.
There will be tinsel and there will be jingle bells.
I fucking hate Christmas.
Yeah.
No, you don't. Everybody loves Christmas. Come on.
Man.
Has he done a Christmas podcast?
No, he hasn't.
He hasn't. Then just you wait and see.
I'm not going to do it then.
Last year, I felt so embarrassed because I was so used to Bard not turning up for our podcasts. So I bought some bits of tinsel to us to wear. But I only bought two bits because I thought Bard turned up and he didn't have a bit of tinsel to wear. I felt so bad for him. Well, I didn't. Because I thought, well, where have you been? Well, so. Look, I'm already rubbing it together. There will be Christmas tinsel.
No.
So until then, see you later.
Bye.
It's not the Christmas podcast.